Okay. This is the third in a series that's sponsored by the Cohn family. The Ilui Nishmas and the Zeicha Nishmas Reb Yoni. And we're going to do Asha Yatzar. Interestingly, Asha Yatzar is a bracha that's discussed more at length in the Shulchan Aruch than any other bracha. I mean, in terms of explaining what the words mean. Usually the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go into that so much. It's left to other mefarshim. But here the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch is very, very marach on this bracha. The source of the bracha of Asha Yatzar is the Gemara Brachas Daf Samach Amud Beis. And in fact, last week we were going to do Asha Yatzar, but when I started the Gemara Daf Samach Amud Beis, and it talked about the bracha you make, or the tefillah you say, when you go into the bathroom, so I got very distracted for a week. And that's what we did last week. The bracha nobody, or I know, we shouldn't call it a bracha, but the tefillah nobody says, is skabdu mechubadim. And now we could go to the thing that people do say. So it says in the Gemara, when a person comes out of the Beis HaKise, you say, and it pretty much spells out the whole bracha, Asha Yatzar, on the page of the Shulchan, of the Gemara. And in the Gemara it says that you say this kishe yaitzim Beis HaKise, which is pretty much what we do. There is a shita, the Abu Dram is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Siman Dalet, says that Asha Yatzar should be said every morning. Every morning, it's just part of the morning brachas, just like the other brachas you say in the morning. And it doesn't matter whether the person actually went to the restroom or didn't. We don't pask in this way. The Darkei Moshe comes to explain why there would be such a shita. He tries to say something of a pshat. The Torah is mashma like that also. The Torah just says, you say Asha Yatzar. But it doesn't seem like such a tremendous problem, in other words, in pshat, because Asha Yatzar describes the wisdom of the creation of a human being. So it's true that we say it when we go to the bathroom, but it's appropriate to say it other times. Like I said, we don't paskin that way. But maybe we'll see as we go through the theme of Asha Yatzar, and we'll see if there are other reasons to sort of fit it there. Okay, in the text of the bracha, so this bracha most of us know kind of by heart, but let's just go through a few of the points. Actually, I found that there's more like literature about the different words, little diyukim, the nusach, if it should go one way or another way, than any other bracha I've ever seen. Rav Yaakov Emden alone has like a dozen pages of different little or big points about it, which is dizzying to go through. But let's just go through a few of the points. So the bracha starts, Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. Oh, Penny, I need you here because you're going to tell us the Sephardic tradition saying the bracha Asher Yatzar. L'chaim, L'chaim, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Toda. I'm good. So bracha starts, Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam. There are a lot of synonyms for making things. There's Asa, there's Yatzar, there's Bara, there's a lot of words. And knowing the difference between that probably requires a little bit of a course in Kabbalah. And also some of the Pshat Svarim talk about it a little bit. But simply, the Torah says in Parshat Bereishis, it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam. So it describes creation of man with the word Yitzira. If you look carefully in Parshat Bereishis, you'll also see Nasa Adam, and you'll also see Beria, B'yam Bera Hashem Elokim. That's simply what it's patterned after. Okay, so Hashem created people. Ubara bay nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim. In the human being, there are nekavim, means openings, and chalulim means hollows. And there's a lot of back and forth in the different mefarshim whether the correct girsa should be chalulim, chalolim, other things like that. Now, in the general question, how do you create a hole? Right? It says nikavim, created nikavim. What does that mean exactly? In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the body with various attributes, but like, how do you create space? You don't create empty space. The Mishnah Brura says this as a taina on chalulim. I'll read it to you. Find it. The first Mishnah Brura in Siman Vav, Chalulim. What does Chalulim mean? It doesn't mean Hashem created the empty spaces. It means Evarim Chalulim. Kadosh Baruch Hu created within man various organs which have space in them. The lungs, the heart, the stomach, all those other things. But don't say chalolim. Chalolim would mean voids. Why? Dibicholol lo shaykh bria. When you describe a void, you can't describe creating a void. That's the Mishnah Berurah's taina. Others aren't so convinced by that. I think the Malbim points out, I can't remember where I saw this actually, it's not the Malbim. We say Yotzer Arav V'Rechoshech. So by light it talks about a creation, and by darkness, which is really the absence of light, it says Bayre. You know, it's a different question than Farshim, whether this is a separate creation of darkness, but simply it means that there is ability to have darkness. So you could understand that Yetzirah means forming, and Bria means like creating, which could be something, an absence. But the Mishnah Berurah clearly says B'chol lo shaykh Bria. So then how do you understand the Kavim? You know, it's like they used to have jokes that in Chelm, when you bought a bagel, you had to give a 5 cent deposit for the hole, and then you'd have to bring back the hole afterward, you know, for recycling for the next bagel. So there's a sefer called Chosim Tachnis, 13th century sefer written by Rabbi Avram Bedarsi. He's sometimes called by different names. But he says that bara could refer to empty spaces. Oh yeah, he's the one who gives the example of Yetzer Arvar Chayshech. Yetzer means to create something that is. And Bayre refers to causing something to be there, even a hole, even something that's a void. Okay, so that's a possibility. The Malbim has, in his Parashan Chumash, a nuance where he says that Yetzer means to form out of something that you have. So let's say the Yetzirah of a person would be the body. In Parshas Bereishis is described as being formed out of the earth. So it makes more sense to describe that as Yatsar. Bara, he says, just means in a more abstract sense to create.
That's how the art scroll translates it.
How does art scroll translate?
I think formed and created.
Formed and created. Oh, very good. Yeah. So, I don't think it's such a big problem how it would say Uvaravai Nekavim Nekavim if we're talking about the word Bria. So basically, the question remains, the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with Chalalim. He says you can't say that we borrow empty spaces, so why is he happy with Nekavim, with holes? I guess maybe you can create a hole by making a hole in something. I'm not sure. This is a question I'm not 100% sure about. Chalulim also, they're different gersais. There are a lot of Svarim have a gersa. I'm asking like this. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should say Chalulim, because Chalulim means an organ with a hollow space. Things that have hollows. Uh-huh. But don't say chalolim, which means he created spaces, empty space, created voids. Uh-huh. Because it doesn't make sense to describe voids as something created. They're not created. It's just the absence of something. So then the question comes back, those that object to nikuvim, same thing. There is a girsa nikuvim. Organs with holes, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. So, pretty clear that he has the gersa nekavim. Okay, so I'm going to leave that as an open question. Farshim point out here also, chalulim, together is the gematria 248. 248 is, if any of you know this, right? Ramache Varim, the Mishnah in Ahalos, the first parak, Mishnah Ches, gives the count of what we call Ramach Evarim, that a person's body has 248 distinct parts, right? Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay. Then it says, after we say, we're thanking Hashem, that Hashem created a person with all his internal organs, Goli v'yadua l'fnechi sechevodecha.
Rabbi, yes. I guess that sort of answers the question, but why use double language for that instead of like harbeh chalulim or
right.
something?
Yeah. So, normally, I think you would understand that it just means many.
Right.
But the fact that it comes to Nekematria kind of helps, right? Yeah. Not every single of the Siddurim has that Gersa, but I think the Gemara has that.
Entry points and exit points, I guess.
I wouldn't say that's what the double phrase is based on, but that's a good point also.
Maybe it's Lashon Tiba.
Yeah. Then it says, Goli v'yadu l'fnechi sechevodecha, right? It is it's revealed and known before you, before your throne of glory. Shim yipaseach echa mehem, oisaseim echa mehem. Some have the reversed, you say same of Pesach. Yef shar l'hiskayev l'amod l'fanecha afil l'shayachas. Right, that's the second part of the second half of the bracha. So, a very interesting phrase, goli v'yadu l'fnei chisech v'adecha. In the Rambam, I'll just read to you the Rambam, you'll tell me what's missing. The Rambam writes like this, Perek Zayin halacha hei. Acher sheyatza mevarech, baruch atah Hashem l'kenim al-chalam, asher yatzaris ha'adam b'chachma, uvaravo nekavim nekavim chalolim, he says chalolim, like the Mishnah Berurah says not to say, disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, I guess, chalolim, chalolim, she'im yisosei mecha mehem, o yipaseach, eni ochel iskayim, afil sha'echas. He skips that whole preface, goli v'yadu alefnei chiseich v'decha, he just says he created many parts, and that if they will be closed or open in the wrong way, then the person wouldn't survive. Right? It actually seems kind of logical. Like, why all of a sudden do we interrupt and start talking about Kisei HaKavod? Right? Although, it's interesting, two things. The Rambam doesn't fit with the Gemara, unless he had a different Gersa in the Gemara. And I don't think the Sephardic tradition is to do this. They do say, Galav Yadil Fnei Kisei HaVadecha, do you not?
I think so.
What I want to do is check the Yemenites.
Well, ironically,
yeah.
My morning brachot, I actually say from an Ashkenazi Siddur.
You do say from Ashkenazi Siddur, but I checked in the Sephardi Siddur.
Only because it's faster to find the exact page. I have an article in the Sephardi Siddur side by side.
Yeah, the Sephardi Siddur, it's very hard in the morning to find stuff. so many pages. Yeah. So the Mepharshim have a comment on it, but I don't really understand the whole idea here. The Avudram says, because his lashon is shehu roimez ki makam hanefasha silfnei kisei kvaydei. It alludes to the fact that the souls, the place where the souls come from, is a place right near the kisei kavod.
There's a prayer in Shemoneh Esrei, where you could say for people to do tshuva.
Yeah.
Where you beg Hashem to basically bring the soul through the kisei kavod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Svardi Siddur usually.
Fine, so Abudram, what's he saying? He's saying that that's where the nefesh comes from. And why does that belong in the Brach of Asher Yatzar? Right? The Brach of Asher Yatzar isn't about the nefesh, it's about the body. Right? So I think here we see another place where it seems there's more going on in the Bracha. Right? We're talking all of a sudden about the nefesh in the Brach of Asher Yatzar, which we'll see, maybe we'll get back to. Yes, sir.
That's in the morning.
Yes.
Dam is the one that says in the city you cannot go to the bathroom, no?
Avudram, yeah, he's the one that says that. Together. Is it l'shitasei? Saying it's Avudram l'shitasei. He's the one that says you say it, even if you go to the bathroom.
It's
yeah.
The creation of man.
I mean, it's in the creation, right. That makes sense. So in other words, it's on the creation. You know, everybody holds that the bracha talks about the creation, but you're saying, fi Avudram, it's more directly about the existence of the person. Okay. Lelum, here's what Mechi's saying. He's saying that the Avudram that says that the Pshat in Golav Yaduach Fnei Kiseich Vadecha has to do with the source of the Nefesh is the Avudram L'shitasa. Because the Avudram I mentioned before says that it's part of the bracha you say every morning. Part of the brachas you say, even if you don't go to the bathroom. So, according to Avudram, the bracha, at least sometimes, is being said as a just as a haidah for the existence of humanity. Hashem's creating people. So it should be the Shitase, Regishmak. Okay. E.F. Shar. Where in the Chumash do the words E.F. Shar, where in the Bible does the word E and F. Shar come up? Does anyone know a place where either of those words appear?
Mishnah.
It's in the Mishnah. Anywhere not in the Mishnah? Anywhere in the Chaf Dalet? It's interesting. On the word E, the Mishnah Berurah brings this machlokes whether it should be A or E. He says, A betzere. It comes from the word ein. That's the sheet of the Berhetiv and Prima Gadim. So they're basically saying, where does this word come from? It's not a word in Tanakh. So it's just a short version of the word ein. Then he says, from the Shari Tshuva, Shari Tshuva says, no. It's in Shmuel, it says, A kavod. E kavod. E kavod. This is the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Shari Tshuva.
It says E kavod.
No, they're just arguing what the word is. And here also, Rabbi Yaakov Enten goes at length about this. But the way most people do is to say E, and it is a word. And I'm not sure why the Prima Gadim is not doesn't want to use that e, which is a word in one place.
Tanakh. Not like it's a bracha. It was written later. Not
good.
That it was
right. So efshar is a word that does not appear anywhere in Tanakh. It's not a biblical word. Not at all a biblical word. It only appears in the Mishnah. So
that be a root of pesher, like a to compromise or appease both.
It might be based on that. In other words, like we can try to find right. We can try to find kind of places where there are words similar to it. Right, pesher would be an example. Right, I'm not sure how it would fit because efshar means ability, pesher means the explanation of. But okay, this would be something that the
you can't do that which you can't find
perhaps.
A way to.
In any case, here, first of all, the lashon that I read to you before from the Rambam, let me read it to you again. So the Rambam actually sticks to biblical Hebrew, right? Instead of efshar, he says eino yachol, which is exactly the. But we don't say that. We say efshar. So this is one of the places Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that. The words in the brachas and the tefillas are not necessarily, they're based on Tanakh, but we're not restricted in our vocabulary to biblical Hebrew. He gives many examples. I think one example he gives is tefillin, the word tefillin itself. Laniach tefillin, almitzvah tefillin. It's not a word in Tanakh. Right? So efshar is another word which he talks about. And there are those who came before him who tried whenever Zalman Hena, whenever there was a word that didn't fit with the Lashon HaKodesh of Tanakh, biblical Hebrew, they changed it. And he was very upset about it. He said, I'll show you so many words that aren't in Tanakh. And these are some of them. Okay. Yefshar l'hiskayim v'lamod l'fanecha. L'hiskayim means to live, to exist. L'amod l'fanecha, to stand before you. We generally find that in terms of servicing, like to serve Hashem. La'amod l'fnei ha-melech means usually to be there in service of Hashem, so I think that's a simple meaning. Afilu sha'echas. Afilu sha'echas is a very controversial phrase. Some say it, some do not. The Rambam has it. What?
It's in brackets.
In many siddurim, it's in brackets. Right? Why is it in brackets? What's the thing? First of all, the word Shah, let's just talk about the word Shah. Is that a word in the Bible? Is that a word in Tanakh? Shah?
I wish I knew more Bible.
Based on the question, huh? I assume the answer is no, but I don't know that.
So it does appear in Tanakh, but it's not Hebrew. Because it appears in one place, in Daniel, in the fourth chapter of Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel his mysterious dream, so afterwards says, okay, could you explain to me this dream? So it says, Ishtoimim Shoachada. He was silent for a period of time, and then he explained it. So that's the place the word Shah appears. It doesn't necessarily mean there 60 minutes. It means some period of time. But that's the place. Rabbi Yaakov Emden adds this to his non-biblical word list. I think he knew that it's a word in Daniel. He just held that it's an Aramaic word. Why is it in the middle of a bracha? I would assume so. I would add that the concept of an hour is also not necessarily biblical. In other words, we don't find the Torah dividing the day into 24 periods, right? With one exception, maybe in all of Shas, you don't find that the Gemara considers the Torah to be recognizing hours. What I mean is, let's say Zman Kriya Shema, right? It will say 3 hours, but it really is just a halfway till midday. That's the point. That's just when people wake up. Doesn't count hours in the Torah. Just an aside. Okay. The reason why Afilu Sha'achas is so controversial is because Meram Rotenberg said that it shouldn't say Afilu Sha'achas, because he says, his example is, he says, you can find a person can close his mouth and keep it closed for a while and he's still alive. So how could you say that the openings of a person, if they would be closed, then the person wouldn't survive? It's an interesting example. I mean, if you would pinch the person's nose closed, also, it wouldn't last so long. It would, in a matter of minutes, the person would be gone. It's very interesting that he says that, but that's what he says.
It says echad.
And echad. Now, also, echad could mean anyone. It could also mean one. Right? In other words, even if there's just one of them, right? It would still fit to say v'misaseim echad mehem. So that's why the Beis Yosef, he does it in his parish.
That would meant the cavities of the bathroom.
Yeah. So the mefarshim understand it to mean all the parts of the person's body, but I agree that you would expect from the context that that's what it would refer to. The Shulchan Aruch here, it's like a huge sif, simen vav sif aleph, gives many, many explanations of what we're talking about. And in all of them, he seems to be trying to explain why it is justified to say afilu sha'achas. He gives several explanations. One thing he says is, there's a Gemara Nida that says, Lamed Amud Beis. It's a famous Gemara. It describes the existence of a person, of a baby before being born. That's where it says that there's a malach that teaches the whole Torah to the baby. But it says there, Darsh Reb Simlai, it says that Piv Sasim Tabura Pasuach. When the baby, it's an amazing thing when the baby's in the womb that the mouth is closed and the belly button, the cord, his umbilical cord is open and it's receiving everything through there. Food, blood, oxygen. And then at the moment of birth, all of a sudden it has to switch right away. As soon as the baby is born, it ceases to get nourishment and life support from the umbilical cord. It has to start to breathe and start to eat all by itself. And it says there in the Gemara explicitly, it says, Kevin sheyotzer avir oilam, niftach ha-sasam v'nistam ha-pasuach. Niftach ha-sasam, that which was closed opens, meaning its own mouth. And nistam pesuach means the umbilical cord connection is now closed. Shilamalo kain any yachalichias afil shachas. If not for that, nobody could live. A baby couldn't live even one moment. So that's one pshat Beis Yosef gives. According to this, again, it's very interesting that we're going back to the original birth of a person when we're talking about nikavim chalulim. That's one pshat he gives, and that's how he explains it to the shachas.
What's the two?
Which two? Still, chalulim still has to refer to the heart, the lungs, the stomach, bladder too. Then he gives a couple of other explanations. He says, gives two more explanations where it does refer more to the what we would think of in terms of the bodily functions. So he's bothered by the fact that, you know, a person can go a certain amount of time and it won't kill a person. But he says, yeah, there's a certain point at which it becomes life-threatening. That's what he explains. It's
sorry, I'm just thinking. I think chalulim.
Yeah.
Gematria is 248 together.
Chalulim is gematria 248. Yeah, each of them is 124. Two of them together is 248.
And yeah, but what, the argument is just on the phrase afilu sha'achat. Yeah. You would still say.
Yeah, because everyone agrees that if the body doesn't function normally, it threatens a person's ability to live. The question is, why are we talking about it in terms of it being a short time?
But even if you didn't say it,
yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, what is the meaning of you wouldn't be able to be kayam? That doesn't mean you would die instantly. It still could be, you know, you could live for an hour. Like,
right.
It doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, and also it doesn't necessarily mean shah, doesn't necessarily mean an hour. It could mean more. It could mean less.
Right. So still, even without that, you're still saying.
Right. Let's say you don't say afilu sha'achas. So if you don't say afilu sha'achas, it just means. Yafshaliskaya means if a person's body doesn't perform the way it's supposed to, then the person will eventually not be able to live. Doesn't say how long it would take. Yeah. You find the word shah interesting. There's another place where it has kind of a double meaning. The Gemara says the Chassidim Rishonim, they used to spend one shah. We studied this together, I think, one shah before a tefillah in concentration and meditation, and one shah afterward, and then it would take them one shah. I don't know why it did take them. Sounds like it took them one shah to daven and shachris, and also one shah for ma'ariv. So I'm not sure. Maybe shachris they went to Atar Shlomo, ma'ariv they went to. No, that would be less than an hour. Whatever, shachris they went to Agoda, ma'ariv they went to Munas Yisrael.
No,
something.
Ma'ariv takes an hour to Tarek.
It takes an hour because they're texting everybody to come. Yeah. So it takes the same amount of time. That's shachris. That's a good point. But I don't think that's what the Gemara means. So it says a shah. And it's very clear there that a shah means really an hour, because the Gemara says, so if you add it all together, it's 9 hours. Like, when did they, you know, when they do anything else? Right? And then the Shulchan Aruch says that it's appropriate to take a pause before you start tefillah for a shah. I think I originally saw this in, maybe it's Tamid Rabbeinu Yaina Mishabura mentions it. I think that they did a shah, like an hour shah. For us, a few moments, like it's also another meaning of shah would also be satisfactory. Yeah, I feel like I saw once Rav Shlomo Volber wrote that. How long should you pause before you daven? I think he says like a few minutes is already too long. Just focus. Okay, the end, the Gemara asks, how does the bracha end? So Gemara gives two shitas. One, that you say, Rofei Kalbasar, Shmuel says that. Rav Shesha says, Mafli Lasais. So what do we do?
Both.
We do both, right? So Rav Papa comes and he says, Nimrinu Tarvayu. We'll still do both. Rav Papa does this 10 times in Shas. There's one opinion, there's another opinion, Rav Papa says we'll do both. Yeah, we had one once, I think. In the first part of Brachas, I think he has it about Brachas HaTaira. I think he says Nimrinu Tarvayu. And there are many, many other places. I can't remember all of them now. But he says it many times. He seemed to always make shalom like that. There's a big shaila. There's a big article I saw in one of the journals. Was there Papa just saying, well, if there's two opinions, let's just follow both? Like, almost like Misafik would just be Yotze all the shitas. Or does he mean to say that both, like every time he holds both of them have merit and you should dafka do both of them? He brings a raya because Berch Satara, there's two separate brachas. And he says to do both. Now, if it would be a Safik, you would say Safik brachas lahakal. It's clear that he holds to actually say both. There's a vart that they say that's the reason we say, we mentioned the 10 sons of Rav Papa at a siyum. Chanina Rav Papa, Raphim, Rav Baron, Rav Papa, Ada, Rav Papa, Sorcha, Rav Papa. I don't remember all the names. But Haravna is not one of the names. So Rav Yashiv said once in a shir that he heard from Big Tam Chacham, whose name doesn't mean anything to me, I don't know what it is, that Rav Papa was zeichet the 10 children who were Talmid Chachamim because of the respect he gave to the words of all the Talmid Chachamim to the extent that he would always like make sure that you're yaitz everybody. So that's what he says. In any case, but what are we saying when you say Reifei Kalbasar Mafli Lasais? Literally, Reifei Kalbasar means to heal the body. Mafli Lasais means to do something wondrous. Right? So there it's a little less clear what he's talking about. I think the simple pshat, Reifei Kalbasar means the elimination of waste for that. It's good for the body. Mafli Lasais is I think the Shulchan Aruch mentions this, the Ramah mentions. There's a famous mashal which the Mechaber gives on the phrase Hashi Yatzar Sadam Chachma, and the Ramah gives on Mafli Lasais, and it's based on a Medrash. The Medrash says that if you have a noid, well, just translate balloon for now. Imagine you have a balloon, right? So you could blow it up, tie it tightly. Imagine you would want to poke one hole in the balloon and keep all the air inside. We wouldn't be able to do it. It would empty out. It would empty out quickly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a person. He has so many openings. And then she puts in the neshama, right, which is described, vayipach ba'apav, it's blown in, and it stays in. So that's the pele of a person. That's the amazing thing of a human being. Now, for us, it's a little hard to understand because we don't really perceive the soul as being something that's like held in like air in a balloon, right? We don't understand why the soul should leave because there's a hole in a person, because we don't really understand what a soul is. But the Darkei Moshe and the Gra are the Gra is quoted from the Sefer Imrei Noyam that the whole fact that a spiritual soul could be housed in a physical receptacle, that itself is a pella, and that also can only happen when the body is healthy. Right? It's interesting. You don't keep the body healthy, what happens? The soul leaves. Yeah, it leaves. So that's the combination of Reifei Kalbasar Mafli Lasais. That's how they explain it. There is a segula, or of such, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it's quoted in many svarim that saying ashayatzar with kavana is a segula, or it's a source of merit for health. It's attributed, its original source is attributed to that sefer, the same sefer that we spoke about in the first year, the sefer called Seder Hayoim from the 16th century. The Kobol, where he does write, I'll read to you what he says. Let's read it together. The Piskei Tshuvos quotes it from the Seder Yayim. So I want to read to you the Seder Yayim. He says like this: Yivarech Berchas Asher Yatzar, V'yichavin b'chesed ha'gadol she'Hashem Yisbarach oisem ha'adam b'chol shah. Person should think, concentrate on the tremendous kindness that Hashem does with a person every moment. She'yaitz l'nekavav. Any time a person goes to perform his bodily functions, she'meki ma she'achal v'yachal lamed. Meaning, the fact that the body has the ability to remove that which is not needed and to keep what is needed. If not for that, then no money in the world would be able to keep a person healthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu barachem av asa, in Hashem's kindness he made mechaynes and medureis v'inyanim. Mechaynes, in modern Hebrew, translate machines, systems. In the body of a person, lahachnis haray lachnisa, lahaitzi haray lahaitzi. It's a very fascinating thing, how it is that the body, I mean, think about it. Imagine you made a car. You know, they have cars now that are called flex fuel cars. You ever see that? I don't know if they're a little out of vogue now. For a while they were selling, they have a special badge on the back that you could put in fuel that has a few percent of ethanol in the fuel. That was going to save the world somehow. It didn't get saved yet, right? That's all. But if you put diesel in, the car's toast. You put gasoline in a diesel engine, the car's toast, right? Imagine you have a car. Whatever you want, put in. Put in diesel fuel, put in kerosene, put in potatoes, put in sugar, right? As the human body is an incredible thing. Think of all the different things you eat. And there's a machinery inside that's able to get the elements that are needed and convert it into fuel. It's not simple, when you think about it. So you have to be so thankful for that. It's poetic, right? Literally, to absorb the fine flour and to get rid of the waste. Lahavris gufay. Then he says like this: Vim ha'adam yeh shalom b'di'aisav v'machalkel b'mishpat dvarav. This phrase needs to be translated. Person will be shalom b'di'aisav. So it means shalom means whole, perfect in his. The word deya is very, very hard to translate. Like the Rambam has halchas deyas. It means a person's behavior in general. U'mechalkel b'mishpat dvarav. And I don't even know how I would try to translate it because I'm not sure exactly what nuance he means of mechalkel. Sometimes it means like to support. Sometimes it means like to eat, like kakala. But in other places, mechalkel b'mishpat just means to choose one's actions wisely or one's words wisely. So he says, I'm just going to read it in Hebrew.
What does that have to do with the rest of it?
I'm not sure. So. That's what I'm trying to figure out. V'ma'adam yeh shalom b'di'aisav mechalkel b'mishpat dvarav lo yech l'kal yamav. He'll never be ill. V'lo yitztarich l'rofei v'lo refuasa. He'll never need doctors. He'll never need medications. Im kein vadei roi levarich b'kavana gemura b'dash lema. Certainly it's appropriate to make this bracha with tremendous kavana. So, this is seen as a source that there's a segula. If you say asher yatzar with kavana, then you won't need a doctor. The tricky thing is that this phrase is a little hard to translate. The other way to read it is it means that if a person will live their lives in a healthy way, then they will never be ill. And to thank Hashem for the health, it's appropriate to say the bracha with kavana gemura. This is something that's fought over in Svarim. There are a lot of I saw in several places where this is debated, what the Seder Ayah meant. But
I think one of the things is that as long as you live the way that you should,
yeah,
then by saying Asher Yatzar, mm-hmm, then it activates.
Okay.
But if you're not going to live the way that you should, mm-hmm, then it's like you're already like making an hefker. Similar to a lot of other things with, you know, yeah, you take an undue risk.
But it's certainly, first of all, in simple pshat, it makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense, right? The philosophers ask, the philosophers who philosophize about prayer ask, why is it that davening, let's say, having kavana by the same bracha, the same Talmud of Racham, Baruch Hashanim, is supposed to help a person with parnasa? Well, if you're supposed to have the parnasa, then Hashem will send it to you, regardless if you pray. And if you're not supposed to have it, so what does tefillah help? Right? This is a question everybody thinks of, the first person to think of it, you know. So the simple answer is that we're talking about something that a person deserves, but you have to catalyze that by davening, and specifically by recognizing that Hashem is the source of that specific thing. So by davening for whatever, for mechila, davening for parnasa, yeah, parnasa, davening for refuah, yeah, refuah, davening for Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, all those things. So certainly it makes sense that the tefillah, the bracha in which you're concentrating and being grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your health would be a catalyst for health. Certainly makes a lot of sense. There are many, many documented Gedolim who said this, or Meir Premishliner, Rav Cheskel Levinstein, they all said this. That people would come and ask, they would say that they need a refuah, and he would say, you know, that's what you should do. You should say, Asher Yatzeh with Kavana. Chavetz Chaim used to put his finger in a siddur and read it like a mamish, like a small child, you know, and he wasn't a small child. You know, it's interesting that people know him as a tzaddik, and really, if you learn Mishneh Berurah and Be'er Halacha and his other svarim also, it's very clear that he was a big gadol. He was a goyin olam. So I can't remember who, maybe one of the Brisker Gedolim said that the reason people don't know him as a world-class Talmud Chacham is because he davened to Hashem that he shouldn't become known as a Talmud Chacham. So why did he become known as a tzaddik? Because he didn't even consider himself a tzaddik to daven, and always should think of him as a tzaddik. That's what they say. I don't know if it's MS. But, by the way, it's known that the Be'er Halacha, basically if somebody learns Erevin or some hard sugya, and then you learn the Mishneh Berurah and the Be'er Halacha, you see how that he really went through everything before he wrote it. It's not just a compendium of Mefarshim. So the Be'er Halacha, there was much more that was printed here, like four or five times the size. There's some pieces that just, many pieces never got printed, about 80% never got printed, just because he wanted it to just be usable size. It's a chaval, we don't have it, but Chavetz Chaim, as great as he was, would just read it out of his siddur carefully. It's a svara, it makes a lot of sense, you know. The Stipler said that you should think about all the things that can go wrong. You know, the question about what a person's attitude should be when they're at a hospital, a person's visiting a hospital. So on one hand, it's upsetting. You feel a certain amount of compassion, a certain amount of you know, you feel rachmanis for the people who are there, people who are ill. But on the other hand, every single department you pass by, you know, cardiology, radiology, endocrinology, all the allergies that you pass by, these are all problems that you don't have. A person should take that opportunity. Victor Miller used to say this all the time. A person visits a cemetery, should feel, remember how grateful you are to be alive. So you're remembering you should concentrate on all the problems that you don't have. That's the gratitude a person should have when they say Asher Yatzer. Years ago, somebody came to my father with a proposal to change the world. Rabbi Reisman is a little, you know, people would say, you know, he's a realist. Realists sometimes are called cynics by other people, but like, you know, when people come with a proposal to change the world, so, you know, he's usually nice to them, but he doesn't help them change the world. And he's had a lot of these proposals over the years. Well, he said one time somebody actually feels did sort of change the world. That was when the person came and he said he wants to start funding signs to be put on all the walls outside the shul with Asher Yatzer. And he really did. This started, 25 years ago or so. I don't have to ask my parents and grandparents, they remember such signs, but today it's like all over. Even people's houses, they have it. Mm-hmm. And there's no question that it's a tremendous improvement. So it's a really good innovation. People should be able to say the bracha with kavana, whether you know where it says Shah or you don't say Shah. That's not the point.